You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
150 countries, including Aotearoa, have recently signed the Global Methane Pledge, promising to reduce methane emissions in energy, agriculture, and waste. The pledge says methane reductions are the most effective strategy for bringing down emissions. However, this is only in the short term, as methane stores carbon for far shorter than fossil fuels do. And in Aotearoa, the profile of our methane emissions is quite different to that of other countries. I spoke to Dr. Kevin Tremberth, a distinguished scholar at the National Center for Atmospheric Research in Colorado, about methane emissions and what alternative action can be taken. I started by asking him to profile Aotearoa's emissions.
In dealing with carbon in the atmosphere, there are two main sources, carbon dioxide and also methane. And in New Zealand has a very unusual profile in that about half of New Zealand's greenhouse gases come from methane. And this is almost entirely from agriculture, which includes livestock and some other parts of agriculture as well. Whereas in other countries, a lot of methane comes from activities like fracking, mining, oil, and coal. And so the government has decided to put pressure on farmers to reduce the amount of methane, part of the emissions trading scheme incentives, in order to try to make that happen. And, you know, the plan is to sort of introduce some kind of a tax on cattle in that regard, although you can't track this at all well.
What are the shortfalls with this policy approach?
Well, internationally, there's 150 countries that have signed up to reduce the amount of methane in the atmosphere. But nearly every other country is not reducing what is called biogenic methane, that is from cows and cattle and sheep and so on. Rather, it's from so-called fugitive emissions from abandoned mines, from leaky pipelines. And so this is the state, for instance, in Australia. And so New Zealand farmers compete with Australian farmers on the international marketplace, and it potentially puts New Zealand farmers at a disadvantage.
But aren't methane emissions from cows still a problem here, where, as you said, agriculture emissions make up half of our emissions, and the agricultural lobby has been quite successful in exempting itself from regulation?
Yes, I mean, this is true, but the question is, what can you do? You can certainly cut down on the number of cows, or the number of cattle, or the number of sheep, and that's one way to reduce, and you could argue that maybe there's a few too many cows, and that's one way to cut, but otherwise it's very difficult. If you have feedlots, as they do, say, in the United States, for instance, then you can control the feed of the cows much more readily, and adding certain kinds of seaweed helps to reduce the amount of methane that comes out of cows. Most of the stuff that comes out of cattle and cows comes from belching, from through the mouth, as part of the digestion process. A little bit of it comes out of the backside, and a certain amount of it comes from the decay of the poop that, you know, is kind of waterlogged and is in various pools around the fields and so on. In a lot, you can also control that by collecting it and dealing with it properly. You know, one of the things that maybe would help the listeners is that if you have a compost heap and you put, you know, grass clippings and all kinds of things in it, as it decays, it either generates carbon dioxide or methane. And if it's a healthy compost heap, then it decays fairly rapidly and it generates quite a lot of heat inside, and it comes out as carbon dioxide. But if it gets waterlogged and so there's no access to oxygen, then a different kind of bacteria take over, and the methane is produced, and the whole decay process is a lot slower, and in fact you can end up with quite a slimy compost heap. And so this is the sort of thing that one would like to control, is to cut down on how much methane is generated versus how much carbon dioxide, but it's really quite difficult. And yet it is quite, it's much easier to cut down on fugitive emissions, and it's also much easier to cut down on carbon dioxide emissions.
So what exactly would constitute reducing carbon dioxide emissions?
Yeah, so carbon dioxide primarily comes from the burning of fossil fuels. And as a result, it's building up in the atmosphere and it has a very long lifetime. A lot of that comes from transportation, from driving, but a certain amount of it, which a lot of it comes from burning coal, which is also heating. And some of that is dealt with in industry, such as in Fonterra for drying milk. It's used in Huntley at the power station there. And, you know, we've seen in recent times that there's a tremendous amount of slash wood lying around. Why don't we make more use of wood instead of coal? And that's one way to cut down on fossil fuel emissions in that regard. And it seems to me like there is scope for quite a lot of progress in these areas, and it's not being capitalized on. There's also a number of other things that could be done in New Zealand. New Zealand is very far behind in terms of solar generation, especially from rooftop solar, compared with most other developed countries around the world.
Can you pursue reductions in both methane and carbon dioxide, or does targeting methane act as an alternative to more substantive decarbonization measures?
We should do both, but they should really also be done separately. We should consider methane because it has it's a very potent greenhouse gas, but it also doesn't last very long before it actually gets oxidized in the atmosphere and it ends up as carbon dioxide. Methane should certainly be considered very strongly, but it's also important to consider the fossil fuel methane, the fugitive emissions of methane, separate from the biogenic emissions. And that's really what my article was about, is that those both of those kind of separations ought to be dealt with in order to properly develop a portfolio of reductions in greenhouse gas emissions.
There's kind of this problem that runs through our whole climate policy generally, where we treat these different forms of carbon as being interchangeable, whether that's different forms of methane as interchangeable or methane and carbon dioxide.
Well, New Zealand actually does treat the methane from cows separately, ironically, but there is that equivalency which is used, and it's a false equivalency, and it really ought to be done differently, and it ought to be done differently not just in New Zealand, but at the United Nations level across all countries.
How much emissions reductions have we actually seen under the climate policy that we've had so far? And real emissions reductions rather than sort of on paper reductions like through carbon trading?
Yes, it's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. And if, of course, it's complicated by the pandemic. There were big changes in commuting and the amount of driving that was done. Certainly in general, carbon dioxide emissions are bouncing back. And it sure looks like there's been little or no slowdown overall in terms of the total emissions that are going into the atmosphere, because the concentrations of carbon dioxide and methane in the atmosphere continue to go up at about the same rates they were before the pandemic. And that's really the bottom line consideration. So there's been very little progress, really. I mean, I shouldn't say that. There has been progress, and there are some places in Europe and in the United States, for instance, where there are there's a lot of new money going into areas where they are cutting emissions, but at the same time, there's still a tremendous amount of fossil fuel that's being used and carbon dioxide being put into the atmosphere. And as a result, there's very little progress in terms of the reductions in the rate of increase of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere.
Do these more palatable approaches treat the issue as being less urgent than it actually is? You know, we're seeing an increase in these really devastating extreme weather events at 1.2 degrees warming, and current policies put the world on track for 2.7 degrees. So, I don't know, it just seems like we should really be stepping up instead of compromising.
Well, from the standpoint of New Zealand, we can certainly do a lot better than we are doing. But New Zealand can't solve this problem. This is an international problem. And so it depends a great deal on what the main industrial countries are doing in Europe and the United States. So New Zealand can't solve this problem. But New Zealand should set an example, and certainly lobbying along with all other small island states and countries, and perhaps with Australia, now there's a change in government there, to put pressure on these major countries to actually do something. But, you know, this requires diplomacy, and right at the moment, diplomacy isn't working very well around the world.
That was Dr. Kevin Tremberth speaking about methane, agriculture, and climate change policy.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.